God, Heavenly Father, in this world in which we do have many fears, many things that oppose us. God, in a world in which you've allowed the demonic host to persecute the church, God, let us not be shaken. Let us stand firm. God, let us do your desire. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to call the mission team up front and join me in the process right here. I don't know if I'm getting older or the team is getting younger, but you will notice we have a lot of students going this year. And this is the team that will be in Mexico this coming week. And I would like to have these faces in front of you as you think about this team and what they're doing. We're, except for Dr. Kevin down there at the end, the rest of us know very little about eyeglasses, and we will endeavor to fit people with used prescription glasses. And the process does work. It is wonderful to watch people have a hard time seeing, be able to see. And this group is going to be giving sight not only to the blind, but sight to those who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is why we're there. So join me as I pray for our team this year. God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have come. They have said yes to your call. They are obedient, God, to what you desire us to do. God, we thank you for your great commission that says to go into all the world and make disciples. And so may we, as a team, demonstrate your love, your compassion, your hope, all of the things, God, necessary that they might receive the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that for all who sin, God, that you will save us. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so we thank you for that great salvation we have in Jesus. Enable this group with all strength and courage and fortitude to do the job set before them. And in these things we say, as God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. If you haven't been on a mission trip, man, I greatly encourage you to go. It is just a fun time. When we come back, we will actually have a 90-second commercial, and we are just delighted to join this team with this ministry. We have been doing these things for 30 years together as a church. We used to build houses just across the border. We used to do dentistry in Mazatlan, and now we've been doing an eyeglass clinic for some years now. So what a delight. Let's just go to God one more time as we consider our message for today. God, Heavenly Father, we know that it is by your Spirit that we discern all things. And so we pray, God, that your Spirit might convict our heart with the things that are said, that we might take it to heart, that we might put it into practice, that we may not be hearers only, but doers of the word, just like this mission team is doing, to do all that you've commanded. So God, help us, enlighten us, encourage us, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we are nearing the end of our journey through the book of 1 Thessalonians with our general theme, hope for today. Today from 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 18, we're going to talk about our pursuit, that we are to seek God, to seek gladness, and to pursue and seek God. Three simple terms, we're to seek good, gladness, and God. Pretty simple as we look at the end here of the book of Thessalonians. In terms of the things that the apostle is calling them to do are the things that he is calling the church of Christ to continue to do as we progress in the Lord. Let's just look, number one, as we seek God. In verse 15, it says this, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." If you look at from verse 12 and you look at the things that are being listed here at the end of the book, you can see that there's just a list. Sometimes we would put these as bullet points, and sometimes bullet points flow in a thought, sometimes they don't. Well, in this context, I think it's like bullet points where God is laying out things that are necessary for a healthy church to do. Last week, we learned that we ought to respect the elders and that we should be at peace with everyone and that we should seek to help the weak. Three things that were incredibly important. And so he's launching from there to this verse. See to it that no one does this. Number one, I want us to notice the disruption of good. The disruption of good. See that no one repays evil for evil. If you're looking for a perfect church, you will not find it here at Avondale Bible Church. We have flaws. And believe it or not, your pastor has flaws. And everybody knows that Pastor John has flaws, right? See, now that's how to stick a joke. The elders have flaws. These are ordinary men. I'm an ordinary man. John is an ordinary man. And so we need to understand that if we struggle and we fail, so much more the people of God, right? That God gives us grace to join together and grow together. And so we see that the church is a process where God is creating and unifying his people with flaws so that they might be corrected. See to it that no one repays. The idea here is to pay a debt. If I asked who has the highest Visa balance, what would that be? There was a time period in my life where I owed $26,000 on Visa cards. That's irresponsible, is it not? That was terrible. And so I endeavored to say, wow, how did I get here? In fact, as we think about that, we have ourselves the same question in regard to the things that are in Christ. How did I get here? How did I get to where I had this massive debt? Well, I should take action in accordance with it. So it's been a joy to be debt-free for so many years as we listen to the Word of God among these things. But this is the idea of what's in this text, to pay back wrong for wrong, evil for evil. This is strange that we would have to ask the church to do this, is it not? That there's evil among us? What kind of evil? Well, I would say anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Anything that God calls us to do and we don't do is evil. In fact, if I may, if we do not seek good and we do not seek gladness and we do not seek God, you are struggling with evil in your life because you're ignoring, at best, the things of God. When you put these things into practice, the disruptions are not there that we are to do good. You know, it's interesting as you look back at the Old Testament, in Numbers 35 and verse 20, it says that murder is a hate crime. That murder that is a hate crime receives the death penalty. It matters why you did it. And so we find in Numbers 33, verse 11, manslaughter is killing by accident, and there are different consequences. We need to understand that in the church, sometimes we hurt people and we don't know it. We hurt people and they feel desperate. You just walked by them. You didn't pay attention to them. You didn't grieve with them. And so they have this offense. But for you, it was unintentional, right? In fact, when you walk through the coffee shop, you have to keep your eyes up, right? Otherwise, you get in this tunnel vision. You kind of just try to get through it. And so often, we have these interactions with people that we don't recognize are hard. They're hurtful. Some things are intentional, are they not? That where we choose to do evil. And so there's a disruption of good, and it comes through evil. And we need to understand that that evil persists in the church and persists until this day, that there is no such thing as a perfect church. It's a group of people, amen, that endeavor to follow the Word of God and to put these things into practice. You know, if I hurt you and then you hurt me back and then I hurt you deeper and then you, you know, really think about how you might cut me to the ground, we need to understand that this just doesn't work. In fact, in your husband and wife relationships, if you're at home and you are responding evil for evil, your relationship is doomed to, at best, suffering, to, at best, an acquiescence of just living together. It does not experience the love of God that God intended. I hope each and every one of you had a happy Valentine's Day yesterday where you just celebrated the love that you have for your spouse. I will tell you that 38 years ago, on February 21st, I always say it's the 19th, I don't know why. But that's when I met my lovely wife, and so we celebrated that. But again, even between Heidi and I, evil for evil, bad for bad, we need to understand that that doesn't work. In Romans 12 and verse 19, it says, "Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." This is back in Deuteronomy chapter 32. God will repay. And there is an understanding that I can do good because justice will be done, and it will be done by God and through God and at God's timing. And so we need to understand that we take action to do good when evil exists because we understand that God is a just God, that punishment will be handed out. In verse 20 of that same verse in Romans 12, it says, "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so," look at this, "you will heap burning coals on his head." If I'm going to bring conviction to my house and bring conviction to my parenting, to bring conviction to my ministries in the Church of Jesus Christ, I need to understand that that is what produces conviction. Kindness produces conviction. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And so we need to understand as we seek good that disruption happens and we need to respond to it in the right way. I want us to see, number two, that we are commanded to do good. The text says, but always, oh boy, don't you hate that word, always. Always? Always, God? I mean, can I have a little, you know, little sin in my life? Can I have a little evil? No, always seek to do good. What does it mean to seek it? It means to pursue, to chase after, to make this a life ambition. That you will probably never understand what the text says until you realize, but always seek good is the contrast to avoiding evil for evil. And so we must understand. You know, we as a people tend to either retaliate or run, right? Some of us are aggressive. Some of us are passive aggressive. We might think that running away is godliness. But the text is commanding us to do something good instead of repaying evil for evil. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5 and verse 38, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him and the other. You know, if you look at the greater context of Matthew, there's abuse going on, physical violence going on, borrowing your stuff, abusing you. And Jesus himself is saying, turn the other cheek. And we'd have to ask ourselves, to what advantage? Why would I do that? Why would I take a beating? Shouldn't I just confront that? Shouldn't I just aggressively rid that out of my life? But Jesus himself is telling us this is how we are to live our Christian lives. This is how we are to live our Christian marriages. This is how we are to lead as fathers and mothers of children. That we understand that if we pay back everything for everything, it will not succeed. We again need to look at the scope of this good. Number three, the text says to one another and to everyone, always and everyone. You know, we have a statement that we often say, you never, ever, you know, did such and such. Well, the Word of God is saying that we should always and to everyone do good. There's no out. There's no pass. This is something that we must do. It's in the imperative, and the imperative is in the text to tell us what we ought to do. We should listen to this. You know, we need to understand that the apostle here in 1 Thessalonians 5 is actually preaching from the Old Testament, from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. And Psalm 34, 12 through 16 is summarized in 1 Peter 3:9, and I want to just read that together. It says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this is you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let his keep his tongue from evil and let his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Don't we want that? Anybody who would love life and see good days? You know, if I ask you to raise your hand, do you want to love life and see good days? How many would raise their hands? I want to love life and see good days. I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. I want to be where God wants me to be. And we need to understand that this will not come as a pursuit of your personal goals. This will not come as you are self-actualized. This will not come as you try to seek your higher good or your higher power or anything that seeks to appeal to you from the secular world. You will not live your best life now unless you obey this particular passage of Scripture. Do not repay evil for evil. You know, I guarantee it, if I showed a video of all of our households, we'd simply go, are you guys married, right? We bicker with one another, we insult one another, we hurt one another. So we must heed the command. Don't repay, just keep your mouth shut if you have to. But again, if you retreat with that, you have lost the game also. Let us keep our tongue from evil. On our mission team, we always have a Bible study, and we have rules for going on the team. And these are something that we read every year. And one of the lines is this, speak to people, not about people. Just let that sink in for just a moment. Talk to people, not about people. I hope that every one of you engages in conversation with one another as you leave here today and as you join together in various ministries. And as we as a team, would you pray for that specifically, that we will talk to one another rather than about one another? That's a high calling. We're desperately in need of prayer. To do good. What does it mean to do good? You know, I want you to know that it's a general, generic term. You know, if you need to move it, lift it, cut it, shove it, relocate it, if you need to counsel, comfort, encourage, if you need to give and serve in that fashion, do something, something that's good. This is our calling, that we may be a blessing. If you were honest, would there be somebody that would say, you're a blessing? Can you visualize in your households this week, if you just said those words, you are such a blessing. You're such an encouragement. You're such a servant. You give so much. It's all in the imperative. Second thing that we need to be commanded to do, and it's hard for us to realize this, but what we are commanded to do is to seek gladness. Look at the text, two words, verse 16, rejoice always. There's that always term again, right? At all times, there is no opportunity for a pity party. There is no opportunity for sulking. There is no opportunity for running away. The text says, in the midst of these things, to seek peace, to pursue it, to seek good and do those things. And here, we are called simply to rejoice, to be glad. You know, as we think about this, the term itself can be joy. It can actually be used as a hail or a greeting. In fact, you could visualize the original people walking by one another and giving each other a high five and saying, rejoice. And in fact, I commend that among the students, that we walk by each other and give each other a high five, rejoice. I mean, that's, we have to say those words, hail or rejoice. It means to be glad, to understand that this is what God wants. You know, most of us know James chapter 1 and verse 2, count it all. Yeah, that's about it, right? Let's try one more. You see, if I raise my voice, will you raise yours? Or may I whisper, count it all joy? Can we say, count it all? Carol, I was thinking about you when I put this in my lesson. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because we know the testing of our faith produces perseverance. It changes us. One of the benefits of going on a mission trip is so that you would be tested in your faith to see if the real love of God will flow out of you. Because anybody who is born of God, what does he? He loves. Anyone who is born of God loves. And so when we count it all joy, we understand that God has a purpose, God has a presence, God is doing something in your life to change you, to mold you, to refashion you, that you might be useful into the kingdom of God. Count it all joy. I don't think that we often think about that too often. We're looking for the kind of gladness that comes by circumstance. We're looking for the fun of a mission trip rather than the purpose of a mission trip. Psalm 118:24, again, this could come right out of the Old Testament. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You remember that old song, He has made me glad, He has made me glad. This is where we ought to be in Jesus Christ. This is commanded by Him. And so we need to see, number two, gladness is experienced. We experience it all times in all situations. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. There we go. Now we're getting the idea there. This is what God wants. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again. Rejoice. We need to understand, again, as in the imperative, this is God commanding, speaking to you, demanding that you change who you are. We need to understand that it is what God requires, and it is not dependent upon circumstances. Galatians 5, verse 22 would say it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so if I would articulate this correctly, if I am struggling with joy, I am struggling with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm struggling against God. I'm struggling against a God who works within you to will and to act according to His good purpose. And so Galatians 5:16, if I am having a problem walking in the Spirit, I will struggle with joy. Also from the same idea, if I am walking away from the Spirit, I will suffer grief. You remember the words of Jeremiah 8 and verse 18, my joy is gone. My joy is gone. Jeremiah is one of my favorite books. We preached through that text many years ago. My joy is gone. Why? Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. Why? Why did he feel all these things? Because the sin of Israel had grown so bad that God was going to punish them. You know, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of change. Today is the day of taking a new course, of being a different man, of being a different wife, of being a different son or daughter, that we might walk according to the Spirit of God in all circumstances. But I need to recognize if I'm struggling with sorrow and depression, I am missing what God intends. I'm missing what God intends. You know, there are times in my life, even as the Apostle Paul, where we were discouraged. You've had those days. And so we need to understand that the text itself says help the weak. We are not to judge the weak or throw out the weak. We are to encourage the weak. But we ought to constantly be asking, am I strong? Am I standing for the things that God wants? Am I doing it with a joyful heart? And so number three is pretty simple. Gladness is a choice. It's in the imperative. If I am not joyful, I am going to say this. I am disobedient. And so there's no excuses, no passes. And again, we are an imperfect congregation led by imperfect people. And so this is not about perfection, but that is continuing to walk in the ways of God and what he commands according to his word by his indwelling spirit, that we be changed, that we become happy people. Have you ever looked at Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 8? It says this, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember the days of darkness. They will be many, and that all that comes is vanity. Why not just heed the word of God? However many days a man may have, let him rejoice in them all. It's not an erasal of darkness. Darkness will come. In fact, if I sat down with any one of you and asked you what are some of the darkest days in your life, they would be deep, they would be hurtful, they would be moving. And so we have to move from these things and trust that God is involved, that God had a purpose, that God is doing what God does. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it says that God's purposes prevail. God is doing something. So in those dark days, count it all joy also, because God is doing it. And again, I'm not saying throw a balloon party with cake. I'm saying within the depth of your heart, what is it that you trust and what is it that you believe? Gladness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Why live our entire lives discouraged, right? Lastly, this morning, we need to seek God. In verse 17, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. To seek God, how do we seek God? Number one, through continuous prayer. Pray without ceasing. Now, as your pastor, I want to give you a pass on this. You don't need to shut your eyes when you're driving in prayer. You know, contemplate, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? I have to go to work. I have to parent at home. I have to mow the lawn. Can I mow the lawn in continuous prayer? Again, what is it really communicating? It is communicating what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden where they walked and talked with God. They had relationship with God. They thought of God. They acknowledged God. For the believer, because we have the wealth of the Word of God to us, to speak to us, it is a light to our path. We know what we are to do, and so we can pray through these things. God, help me in my unbelief. Help me in my discouragement. Help me in my evil. God, help me just keep my mouth shut. So many times it would be just so much easier, and everyone might think I was wise just to let it go. But continuous prayer at all times. And again, what does that look like? I think what the Word of God says, if we pray in the Spirit, walk after the Spirit, he will guide us in the way, not through some unknown words, but through his Word. Philippians 4:6 speaks to this as well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God, help me. You know, can you daily say that, God, I'm struggling. I'm discouraged. I'm downcast. I just wish it'd be over. I just wish you'd return. I just wish it would get easier. I wish, God, that there would not be so many obstacles and so many things. Why did a stupid little room over here take us 12 years to get to? This is opposition of the highest level. It makes no sense at all in the worldly sense. Again, what should we do about it? Pray. Matthew 6, verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. A lot of people who teach prayer say just get in a mode, get in a mantra, repeat these words. That's just idiotic religion. The idea is I continually go to God with my faults and I ask if God help me have victory over these things. I go in regard to the Church of Jesus Christ, to the church here at ABC, and I ask God, God, so work in this congregation that they magnify you and glorify you by what they do with everyone that they come encounter with. Number two, it is a persistent prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. Steadfast is to stick at it. It's like you remember in Luke 18:5, the widow who persistently went to the ruler and asked and asked and asked. There are things in our life in which we need to ask and ask and ask and ask again. And God is saying to you, he hears these cries. Some of you have had to suffer long. Continue to ask. Continue to hope. Continue to believe that God can work a miracle in your life. What should we pray? 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Pray for comfort. God, just calm my spirit. Make me understand what it is. I can pray Psalm 46:1, God is our strength and our refuge, the very help in times of trouble. And again, to end out our sermon today, the last point, through all circumstances. This is what's tough. This is what separates the men and the boys in regard to the kingdom of God. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. In every single thing that hurts, that strikes against you, that opposes you, that affects you physically, understand that God is saying, give thanks for that. Give thanks for the suffering that you are experiencing. Give thanks for the endurance that you are doing. Give thanks because you are being obedient to what God wants in the midst of circumstances. I've been quoting to you from Ecclesiastes for so long. We used to do it in the NIV, and I like the NIV on this verse. But it says in chapter 7 of verse 14, when times are good, be happy. When times are good, be happy. As believers, just look to see how many things God has done for you, how he has stood beside you, comforted you, encouraged you, empowered you to do what he has done when times are good. I'm telling you this, Heidi and I are leaving a few days early. We're going down to the beach and we're going to have a little fun. And we're going to join Todd and Amber Cravaugh on the beach, praising Jesus, praying for our trip, but just enjoying friendship in Jesus Christ. When times are good, be happy. We are not happy enough. We are too often downcast. We're too often depressed. But when times are bad, consider that God has made the one as well as the other. God is at work. God is doing his kingdom plan. Right now, we're going to transition into our baptismal service. And we need to understand this is an obedient act to Jesus Christ, and it brings great joy to the Church of Jesus. Let's pray together. God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage of scripture that reminds us that anybody who would love life and see good days must seek good and pursue it. God, help us do that. We know that that is only possible in your power. And so therefore, God, we know that all of these things we will give you glory for because they are not natural. They are not human. They are not anything that we would do in the flesh, but only because we have been transformed into your likeness by your Holy Spirit through the guidance and direction and purposes of your word. God, help us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.